great that we have a lot of folks eager to present the gospel. All of us are called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are gospel people. We all evangelize. We have been evangelized. We've been good newsed. Therefore, we good news other people. That's who we are. But we do this in some more formal capacities here at Life Church. I want to say this first. Good job, you guys. We have had so many people part of this leadership up here. Have you noticed that most weeks we have five or more people with speaking parts at Life Church? That is intentional. We do not want this to be a one-man show. So it's great that people are involved. With gospel presentations, we've probably had a dozen different people up here, and we'd like to see a dozen more at least. The idea is that, there's two ideas, really, with gospel presentations. And let me just follow this handout. Why a gospel presentation? We do a gospel presentation each week to make sure that everyone clearly hears the good news about Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to hear it week by week. And they need to hear it from different people. It is not just the pastor's message. It does not belong to a pastor. It does not belong to a preacher. The gospel belongs to all of us because it is the message given to all of us. That's why you guys are going to be the ones doing this very thing. This little 1 or 2 minute blip after the sermon is in some ways the most important thing that happens on Sunday morning. But you guys get to do this. You get to make sure that everyone hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." At Life Church, we never want somebody to walk away without having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, his story, that he is Lord and Savior. He is the rescuer. It happens every single Sunday, no exceptions. An evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody in the 1800s was preaching in Chicago, and he set up a multi-day speaking event, because that's what you did for fun in the 1800s. You went to speaking events. And Moody presented the first night, and he laid out some very interesting points from the Bible, very wise principles, and gathered people around, and consider your lives. And then he said, "And come back tomorrow night as I really get into God's message to you." And his intention was that next night to present the gospel very precisely and clearly and passionately so that people came to know Jesus Christ, so they could hear the gospel and believe. That very same night, the Chicago Fire started. The Chicago Fire destroyed a huge portion of the city. Thousands of people died, I believe. There was no second night. And Moody swore to himself that he would never, ever preach a sermon again without preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That very day. Because you never know if somebody gets a second chance. We have people in Life Church, they come in, they will be here once this year. They may be here once, period. They may never darken the door of a church again. You better make sure they hear about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, Lord and Savior. So we do that each week for that purpose. We also do a gospel presentation each week to make sure that everyone has a clear moment to respond to him. Everyone. So it's not just unbelievers who need to believe in Jesus. You believers need to believe in Jesus all over again. Why? Because you've been a horrible sinner all week long. And I'm only partly kidding, right? You know, if you hear the gospel preached, if you hear a sermon, if you read the Word of God, and you're not convicted afresh on some new level, you really haven't been listening very hard. God's Word should rattle you every single time. It's God speaking. This is weird stuff. This is not our natural way of thinking and feeling and reasoning. Repentance and belief should always occasion the preaching of God's Word. So that's why we do this. That's why we're doing this thing, to make a very long day at church. This stuff matters. What makes up a gospel presentation? Roman numeral 2. A gospel presentation at Life Church has three parts, and Christina is making fun of me because I always have to have some kind of alliteration or some kind of easy three-step thing because I want everybody to get this. I had A, B, C going, but it didn't work. Like, we couldn't find any B word out there at all that meant like proclaim or declare or narrate or anything. I'm suing thesaurus.com. There are three C's, three parts. If this helps you, great. Connect. You chronicle. Then you call. You do those three things, it should take a couple minutes, and the gospel will be declared. And Christina is going to delineate that for you. What does it mean to connect, chronicle, and call?
What Nathan's not telling you is that last night there were three P's. So it was ABC, PPP, now it's CCC. So, but this time it's right. So, Nathan, I'm always sad because Nathan should have met my grandfather. He didn't, because my grandfather always loved to do the same thing in his sermons. 3 points, all alliterated. So when they see each other in the resurrection, they will have much kindred spiriting to do. Okay, but connect, you want to right away, whatever the pastor has said, you want to connect it right away to Jesus. I thought Alicia did a great job this morning when she said, you know, Jesus is your king. He's the one who uses his authority to love you and to do what's good for you. So she took this idea of spiritual authority and right away connected it to Jesus. So that's the very first thing to do is whatever the sermon has been about, and probably the pastor has already connected it to Jesus. And if that's the case, then you can just affirm that. You can say, you know, this is true. Believe it. If that connection has already been made, you can just reiterate it. But, you know, if the topic is about forgiveness, say that forgiveness happens in Jesus. If the topic is about unity, then say that Jesus is the one in whom we are unified, or whatever. You all get the point. So, you know, there's a little bit of thinking on your feet, but it's not super hard. We have a friend who always liked to practice his segues to Jesus, and so he would say, give me a hard one, and we'd say something, and then he would segue into Jesus, which I always thought was super funny, especially since he called Jesus JC, so he was always segueing to JC. So that's what you want to do first. Chronicle. You want to proclaim Jesus Christ. You want to give a very basic but very straightforward story of the gospel. You just want to tell people the very basic story. And you can see there on your handout that there are three basic points you want to hit. That God sent Jesus to rescue you because he loves you, that Jesus died for your sins, and that Jesus rose from the dead. And he is alive today, ready to rescue you, able to rescue you. And that's it. So just affirm that Jesus is alive, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Savior. He is standing ready for you. Believe in him. So it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be complicated. It really can be that simple and straightforward. And then the call, you want to end by inviting people to come up and enjoy the help and prayers of the people in the church if they would like to. There are basically two groups you should invite. First, anyone who wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, anyone who wants to put their faith in Jesus, that they should come up and pray with someone. They can talk to those people about what that means, ask questions, find out more about the church. But invite those people who want to say, yes, I believe in Jesus for the first time, to come up and pray with someone about that. And then the second group is anyone who wants to receive prayer about any issue that they might have. We don't want prayer to just be for brand new believers. We certainly want to make sure they know they're invited. But anyone in the congregation who wants prayer for any reason is then also invited up. So connect it to Jesus right off the bat. This only has to be a sentence or two. Chronicle, tell that story that God sent Jesus to rescue you because he loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive and ready to help you. And then invite people, call people up to make that commitment or to receive prayer for whatever they might want. For whatever needs they might have.
So Christina and I have been thinking about, you know, how can we do this? Yeah, by the way, there's not really a right way of doing this ultimately. We did not get this out of the Bible. You know, the book of Hezekiah says that, you know, you must do these three steps or else it's not a gospel presentation. Folks, there's liberty here. You will not get beat up after church because you didn't do it right. But in talking with the pastors, we've decided that, you know, it's a good idea to standardize this to make it clear. We don't want you to feel like there's some kind of special knowledge you need to have or some kind of special gifting exactly to do this. That's where anybody can follow these three steps. You connect. After that little connection, you chronicle the story, and then you call people up. That simple. A few examples here. Christina and I will try to stump each other here. So I will preach a sermon, a 15-second sermon. Yeah. And Christina will pick up and present the gospel. Okay? Ready? Okay. Exodus 12. So the Israelites put the blood over the door, and the angel of death passed over them. And this is good news, folks, because you do not need to fear God's wrath, that indeed you are protected. The God who can destroy is also the God who protects you. You are protected. You are safe this morning. Hallelujah. Christina, come on up.
So we see here God does take sin seriously, but the good news is that Jesus is God's firstborn. He is the one whose blood covers us. It is in Jesus that we are protected from the wrath of God. And Jesus is the one who was sent by God to rescue us from our sin, from our trouble, from death itself. And in his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. His blood is put over our doorposts. And in his resurrection, he was raised from the dead on the third day. He is the one who has power over life and death. He is the one who can give the gift of life, who can care for you and protect you for all eternity. And so if today is the first time that you have really felt that Jesus is the one for you, that you want Jesus to be your protector, you want him to be your firstborn son who is sacrificed for you, then please come up. I'm going to invite our prayer groups to come up, and you can pray with anyone up here and make that commitment to Jesus, because he is your Lord, and he is your Savior, and he is the one who protects you with eternal life. So please come up and pray with the folks who are up here. They would love to do that. And, of course, anyone else who has any prayer needs, anything that you want to pray about or have someone pray about for you, please also come up. Thank you. All right, now, I know, it's true. All right, now I'll do one. Okay, so in our text, I'm going to steal a little bit from Bill here. Jeremiah 48, we see that we are like these earthen vessels that are full of sin, full of silt, full of muck, and that God wants to purify us and destroy the old man, and he wants to turn us into something beautiful and good.
So maybe you're here this morning saying, I don't feel this way. I don't feel like I'm this pure vessel. Folks, it is not about you being a pure vessel. It is about Jesus Christ. That God so wanted to purify you that he sent his only son. He loved you this much. He sent his only son. His name is Jesus. And Jesus lived on earth. He taught us the right way. But more importantly, he died for our sins. And that he died for our sins, and he rose again, in fact, on the third day, so that he could do away with that evil self inside of you, so he can do away with your old nature. What matters most is that Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has smashed your old self. You have the possibility of a new start today because of Jesus. Our prayer leaders will be coming up at this time. They are eager to pray with you. If you have not made a faith commitment to Jesus, if you've never taken Jesus' hand and said, yes, I want to have a new self, today is that day, you can believe in him and have a new start. Maybe some of you are saying, I know that I need to deal with some of this stuff. I need to step into this new life. If you're feeling God's Spirit pull on your heart today, likewise, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Have a great week. We could do harder ones. Okay, we should move on. 15-minute sermons, really, you'll have longer than 15 seconds, especially if Bill is preaching. Gospel presentations don't need to be super fancy schmancy. That connection piece can be tricky. You do need to think through that. What is the natural connection point here? But sometimes it's just a sentence. It's just a well-placed sentence, connecting it to Jesus. You've been challenged with this. It draws us right back to the Savior. If you get there, though, things really shouldn't be that difficult. It can be done simply and confidently. These gospel presentations usually just take 1 to 2 minutes. So how do I do it well? Christina and I thought it might be useful to give you a few examples of how not to give a gospel presentation. It's sort of like what not to wear in a show. How not to give a gospel presentation. It's the latest reality TV show. Okay, may I start out? The umming and you knowing guy. So, we've really heard some important stuff today, and, you know, God really loves, you know, you, and it's pretty amazing when you think about, you know, how God loves you, and love is pretty awesome, especially when Jesus died for your sins, and, you know, 3 days later, you know, he... Can I stop now? This is getting painful. All right. You know, and I'm not teasing anybody. Some people are more gifted at speaking. Some people have more experience at speaking. You know, we've been privileged with having years of experience for some reason. Our parents put us up there as kids, and we've been speaking in front of crowds our whole lives. But it just takes a little practice. So doing a little practice beforehand, before you come to church, well worth the time so you don't become the and you know guy.
And that said, if you do say or you know, don't feel like you have to go home and kick yourself 20 times. I just said you know, I think. So so don't be sitting there counting your and you knows and then going and doing some kind of horrible penance for it afterwards. That's not it. But Nathan's right. You really can practice the second two parts ahead of time. It's the segue that you kind of have to do on the fly. But don't worry about if there's too many All right, the second one we want you to try to avoid is kind of Christianese. So I will give you an example of that. We've heard a wonderful sermon from our beloved pastor today about how Jesus can be your redemption and your reconciliation. He is the penal substitution for your sin, and he takes away God's wrath. And he can translate you into a realm of joy and peace and bliss if you are willing to confess and to bow before him and to let him be your king. And so I want to invite you to come up now and... using a whole bunch of kind of Christianese or theological lingo that especially someone who hasn't spent any time in the church isn't going to understand and is going to be super intimidating to them, and they just don't want to be a part of it. It kind of confirms weird Christian stereotypes that are out there. So just speak in normal, natural language. That doesn't mean you can't use language that is biblical or compelling, but instead of saying penal substitution, say Jesus died for your sins. Maybe instead of saying being reconciled to God, you can say Jesus wants to bring you into a good relationship with God. Something like that. Just language that is more common and more easy to understand.
That said, I rediscovered a great hymn the other day. The first line is, come ye disconsolate wherever ye languish. I'm like, oh, that speaks to my heart. How about reasoning people into the kingdom? This is a type of gospel presentation, and honestly, people have come to know Christ this way. But this is not really the first way we do things at Life Church. Here's what it would sound like. The Word of God teaches us today that we can come to God, but we must understand this. All of you were created by God, who is perfectly just and holy. All of you, through Adam and Eve, have indeed sinned. Because of your sin, you are disqualified for coming to the Father, who is perfect and just and holy. God maintains his justice and holiness, however, he requires some kind of alternate payment. You cannot make that payment, but Jesus Christ can, in fact, enter in as the substitutionary payment for your sins. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, God will accept this faith as a kind of righteousness imputed to you by Jesus Christ. You cannot provide your own righteousness. Jesus Christ has to impute it to you. This is only done by faith. Therefore, any of you who are sinners, and that's all of you, must in fact have faith in Jesus Christ to receive the imputation of God. Why? So that you don't go to hell. Please come up.
In that one, you're talking about a system more than a person, which you want to try to avoid. The last one is guilting people into the kingdom. Something like this. Probably you should have done this. That makes me sound like he's better at guilting people than I am. I should know. No. Well, you've heard the sermon on our great about Jesus, who is so kind and so merciful on us. You are a wretched sinner. Nothing you do can ever be good enough. Think about just the sins you've committed today, let alone in the past week or in the past year. Just think about them for a few minutes. God should cast you into the deepest corners of hell. He should make you suffer for all eternity. But for some reason, he's decided that he wants to save you. So if you would like that salvation, please come forward. Or something along those lines. Making people feel really bad about who they are.
Try to get to their daddy issues. You've disappointed with your earthly father so much. Don't disappoint your heavenly father now. I mean, come on. There's a lot of power in this moment. And folks, you are going to be going up at a very critical time because we have pastors who are very gifted at softening people's hearts, at shepherding them to the right place. And the truth is, most of the time, they do the hard work for you. They have people in a very vulnerable spot. They have people in a very gospel spot because they've already heard the name Jesus. And most of the time, they leave you in a place where it's pretty easy to make that transition, right? So do it well. Here's the next step. We'd like you to practice. If you would just team up with one other person, at most two other people if we have an odd number, okay? Just find a person near you. And here's your passage, Ephesians 6:1. Okay? So grab a Bible if you need one and spread out for the next 7 minutes. That's all you should need. Okay? Ephesians 6:1. Pretend that Pastor Bill has preached on Ephesians 6:1. It's about obedience to fathers. So kind of related to what we were talking about today. And then each of you take a turn at a gospel presentation, okay? Just to the other person. Would you please do that? Okay, so 7 minutes between the two of you.
Yeah, move around so you can get to your own little spot. That is perfectly fine. You can jump off of that. That might make it a little... Oh, wow. Well, some groups are way ahead. Michael, you come do it then. Michael's going to give us the last 15 seconds of the sermon, and then you all do whatever you're going to do.
This is like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, go
ahead. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God, because he is God, has set up institutions for our good, and one of those institutions is the family. And so he has decreed that we should obey our parents, specifically our father and mother, and that we should do what they tell us to do because God has set this system up and this institution. Therefore, we should obey them because they want what's best for us.
One more minute. How did that go? All right. Okay, it was kind of a tricky one. A little tricky. So what were some connection points that you made? Your children being obedient to their fathers, what in the world does that have to do with Jesus? Jesus was obedient to God. So Jesus showed us true obedience. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot to do with authority figures, but Jesus can actually direct us the right way with that. Other things? Okay. So, yeah, honoring your parents comes with a promise. You're preaching a better sermon than I did. All right. There is this promise attached to it. Live long in the land. So that's your connection. How do you live long in the land? Jesus is the one who allows you to do that. What else? Here's another possibility, folks. You can just say this. You can say, you know what? Some of you are realizing now you have not honored your parents. You have not been an obedient child. Or you may realize that you've been a bad parent. And guess what? There is forgiveness for sins available today because of Jesus. Okay? It doesn't always mean that you just simply reproduce the positive message. Rather, what you do is you pick up things. I remember one time I was preaching on Proverbs 31. Yeah, take that in. Proverbs 31, right, the whole thing about being a good wife. And here I was like, hey, I'm newlywed. You know, I'm going to talk to you about what it means to be a good wife. I would not recommend that you do this. But I got to the end of the sermon, and it's one of the few times where I really felt like the Holy Spirit was tapping me on the shoulder, like, he's like, anything else? Maybe something else you want to say here? And at the very end, I changed my punchline. I said, you know, maybe you're feeling like you don't live up to being this Proverbs 31 woman. Maybe you're a woman here today and thinking, you know what, I'm just not a good wife. I'm not a good mother. I can't live up to this standard. Here's the thing. God has grace for you today. You do not need to be perfect. He loves you exactly who you are. And that became the message. And I had a 60-year-old woman come up to me afterwards, and she said, thank you for ending with that, because if you had not ended with that, we would have had to kill you. No, she didn't say that, because she's much nicer than that, but that's basically what she meant. No, she said, that's what spoke to me. She says, I live under the burden of Proverbs 31. That is an oppressive passage to me, but you preached grace into it. Okay? All right? That's where people are a lot of times. Do not preach law to them. They don't need any more law. They need to hear the gospel. Here's another one. One more practice passage here. And this one, I'm going to have different people come up. Okay? I may call on you. So listen up. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. I will give you a mini sermon. It will be 1 or 2 minutes long, just to give you enough time to process some of this. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. In this passage, we hear God's promise to his people, Israel. Israel is not in a strong place when Isaiah is preaching this message, or rather when he is prophesying to them. They are in a bad place. They are threatened by other nations. There's a good reason for them to be afraid. Afraid of Assyria, afraid of Babylonia, afraid of various other empires surrounding them. But Yahweh says to them, do not be afraid. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. He can say this, fear not, for I have redeemed you, because he is the one who created Israel in the first place. Notice in verse 1, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. That is the basis for God saying, fear not. Because if he created you, then he's going to protect his creation. But also notice that Israel is told, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So God says, you do not need to be afraid because I have, in fact, given you your identity. You do not need to be afraid because I have redeemed you. Fear not, for you are good enough? No. Fear not because you're smart enough to get yourself out of your predicament? No. Fear not because you are a strong enough person or strong enough people? No. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And maybe here this morning you are living in fear, and you need to hear this promise of God, that God has redeemed you. He's put it upon himself. And because he's in control of your life, because he has offered you redemption, you do not need to be afraid anymore. Thanks be to God. Kiara, would you come up and deliver the gospel message? She was not coached beforehand.
Thank you, Nathan, for that very wonderful sermon. Maybe today you are sitting here and not forgotten the passage. Yep. Isaiah 43. And you are listening to this and you're thinking, I don't think God has called me by name. I don't think God has redeemed me. Where do I fit into this? And because of Jesus, God has called you into his family. He has called you by name. He has made you one of his children. So through his death, he came, he died for your sins. He was resurrected on the third day, so he has power over your sins. And God is calling to you now, saying, believe in Jesus, come to me through him. The prayer team will now come up. If this is the first time that you are considering this, I hope that you will come up and talk with them, receive prayer for this. If you are realizing anew that you are one of God's children, that you've been called by name, that you've been redeemed by him, you are also welcome to come up to get prayer for whatever you need.
Thank you. Good. Good. So it's quick, you know. It just is a connection. Okay, lead it back to Jesus. Call people up. All right. Same sermon. Here's the end of it. Do you need to be smart enough? No. Do you fear not because you're good-looking enough? No. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, says God. I have called you by name. You are mine. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Elder Paul, would you come up and please deliver our gospel presentation?
In this passage, we're told that God is with us. He's always with us. And we know that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be with us also. And he talks about being our Redeemer, and Jesus Christ came to be our Redeemer. And he died on the cross. He was risen from the dead on the third day. And he has come to pay the penalty for our sins. And we can have new life by placing our faith in him. And so at this time, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, we would ask you to come forward. We have a team who will pray with you. And they can just counsel you. And if you have prayer for other or need prayer for anything else, please come forward also. And otherwise, have a great week. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
All right. Very good. Now, maybe some of you actually like praying at the end. There are some people out there who do much better when they close their eyes and they pray to God at the end. This is okay at Life Church too, I think, right? It's okay if you want to do this in a gospel presentation where you say, hey, we have our prayer people coming up here. You're welcome to pray with them to receive Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you want to talk to somebody about it and pray with somebody. In just a second, I'll invite you up here, but let's pray first. And then you offer a prayer. Anybody want to try it that way? I'm going to volunteer. Gospel presentation with a prayer at the end. Should we pick on a pastor? Pastor Dave, come on up. Show us how it's done. Yeah.
Fear not. Fitting. Well, thank you, Dr. Hitchcock. That was a wonderful message, and this happens to be one of my favorite passages here in Isaiah. Such a rich promise from the Lord that God would be with us, that he has redeemed us, and in Jesus Christ, he certainly has redeemed us. He's called us to be his own. This is not something that you do. Christianity is not something you do by trying harder. It's something that God does, and he did everything in sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life that we could not live, to die the death that was meant for us, and to rise again from the dead the third day, conquering sin and death for us so that we could come back to God where we've always belonged. And if you would like to do that today, we would like to welcome you into God's family because he's made the way possible through Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have our prayer team up here today. They're going to pray with you, introduce you to Jesus, answer questions that you might have. And also, if there's those of you who are sitting here saying, maybe God's left me. Maybe you're in a time of suffering and struggle in your life, and you're wondering, is God even there? Maybe you feel like he's distant, and maybe like he's abandoned. You've been walking with him, and you don't understand the struggles that are going on in your life. We would invite you to come for prayer as well, because this passage can speak richly to your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit as well. So please, come for prayer. I'm going to pray for all of you, and then you'll be dismissed, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for this good message, this good word from Isaiah the prophet about the people Israel. And we take this word for us today too, Father, that we are engrafted into your family through Jesus Christ, that we belong to you, that you have called us by name, not just as a corporate body of people, but that you've actually individually marked us, that you've called us, that you've said our name, and that we belong to you. And Lord, we rejoice in that fact today that we can come back to you through Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that anyone in here that is really considering that would make that choice today, that they would give their lives to Jesus Christ and come home to you, Lord God. And so we thank you for this time, and we ask that you would bless us as we go now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
That's great. Okay, is it clear now how this is done? You have anything else you want to share?
I do think it's worthwhile. We would love to. Nathan already said this, but we would love to have more people doing this in the after the sermon is over. Have lots of people taking part in it, and I think it is easier if you practice what you can practice ahead of time. So the 2 and 3, you can practice without knowing what the sermon is. The other thing is, I kind of joked about my friend who was always trying to segue into talking about Jesus, but it's a great thing to do. That, let me tell you, that guy can segue anything into a conversation about Jesus because he has been practicing for so many years. And you can do this with your friends or with your families, you know, give a little, say, here's the end of the sermon. What are you going to say? And the more you practice, the easier it gets. We really, and I think Bill and Dave agree with this, we want to encourage people to want to take part at the gospel presentation at the end of the sermon. And that, for me, the more I practice, the easier it is. I just feel comfortable, and I don't worry about it, and it's more enjoyable, and it's something I really appreciate doing. So 2 and 3 are easy to practice without knowing the sermon, and you can always, you know, just with a friend or someone, practice the segue part too, and it can actually be kind of fun to challenge each other. Nathan and I were doing it the other night, trying to give each other super hard ones and see what the other person would do with it, and it can be fun. So there you go.
Try out one from the Apocrypha. Not that that would happen here, but, you know. Let me conclude with this. The reason why you are here, the reason why you have come to Christ, is because somebody dared to preach the gospel to you. And whether you came to Christ directly or indirectly with a gospel call and a gospel presentation, somebody shared the good news with you. You guys get to be part of that. So let's close with prayer, a prayer of gratitude. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, not just because you are a generous God, but because you include others in your plan. You include others in your ministry. By the Holy Spirit, you raise up men and women to share the good news. And we just give thanks today because there were men and women in our path who preached Jesus to us. And we couldn't have come up with that on our own. We couldn't have come to you on our own. So we just think right now of the pastors and preachers, maybe a friend, maybe somebody on the street. Maybe it was somebody who wrote a book. Mothers and fathers who may have impressed that on us. Whoever it was, we give thanks for those people who shared Jesus with us, who told us of his life and his death and his resurrection on our behalf, who introduced us to our Lord and Savior. And we pray humbly that you would use us, that we too might also have that testimony, that we become the conduits for your grace, that we become the mouths that speak the gospel. We thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name. Amen.